Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, founder of Convergence Healing, Peter Bedard.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Chris Murphy. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am Filippo Voltaggio, and we're having already fun in the studio, and we're all laughing, and it's great to have Peter Bedard here and Chris Murphy together. I've known them both for years separately, and I've actually worked with Chris musically, and I haven't worked with Peter, but I had followed his show for a while on video and all the different modalities, and then I've been to a couple of his workshops and just been a fan and a friend for a while. And actually, recently, you had me on a radio show with you, Peter, doing something. So that's been fun, and it's interesting. I heard him say before the show started something that I haven't heard anybody say in this way, and I don't want to say it because I want him to say it, but it reminded me of something that I was doing that people thought I was really crazy. Now, thankfully, I've never been really, really sick health-wise, but I have been really, really sick flu-wise, or whatever names we give to the flu.
And flu is not health-related.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It might have been life or death, but it wasn't like, you know, the C word or the whatever.
Got it.
But still, it could have been the life or death situation for all I knew, except for the fact that I have a lot of healers in my life of different kinds of modalities and beautiful people that have healings that really work and I believe in. And yet during this particular time, I chose not to go see any of them, though many of them had offered to let me help you. I said no. And this thought came to me. I never thought about this, but since I have found other people that think this way, and Peter is one of these. As a matter of fact, he has taken this to a beautiful level. We're going to talk about that. So I remember saying in my delirium between fever and whatever else was going on and hacking and whatever, and I wasn't taking any kind of medication or even any homeopathic, which might be stupid, but I was saying, I got to figure out what this is about. And when I find out what this is about, then everybody can do healings on me, and we'll get past this. And the interesting thing is I found out what it was about, and the next day I was practically fine without any of the healings. I mean, that's almost how quick that went away. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. And so now, Peter has his own story and actual steps, so that you don't have to get that sick. You could ask each step of the way, or if you do, then you could do the process that he talks about. It's called convergence healing, or convergence process, or just convergence. And that's going to be his book coming out pretty soon. We're going to have Peter tell you all about it, and a little later we're going to hear some impromptu channeled, inspired music from the vibes in the room by our friend Chris Murphy. When we come back, all of that after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back, and we're sitting here with Peter Berdard, and a little later we're going to have our musical guest, Chris Murphy. And Mark, you're right. The flu, that could be a pretty bad thing. So technically, I was sick.
Wow.
But
there's a few people out there that might agree with you.
Right. Because it's for so many people, it happens every year, you think, oh, yeah, you're going to get fine, but...
They say the first step is admitting the truth.
So. Okay, I was so sick. How sick was I?
But I was waiting for the answer.
But the funny thing is that I also, I must have been in a delirium because my fever was high. And I also was like teetering on, do I know what I'm doing or is it the fever talking?
Well, but that's typical of... any illness, right? You start to question everything. Everything is great and you're, you know, Superman until that cold or flu or something beyond it comes, or the pulled muscle or whatever the case may be, the physical sign of being out of balance. And, then suddenly, you know, your perspective on the imperviousness or the seemingly impervious nature of your life, you know, just kind of goes away and you start to reflect on things differently. I believe that's why we get sick, is to slow down or take a moment to reflect or feel, otherwise we just, you know, continue moving along without any moment of reflection.
Mm-hmm. Actually,
stop and cough at the roses.
Right, and I see that, you know, you're kind of looking at me while you're talking about this, and you know that I have had, you know, some big stuff happen in my life. So it's like, it's not like I haven't had major issues, but, you know, I happen to choose that one because it was really the first time that I thought of that concept. What is this about in that way, coming from myself? So I'd like to have Peter elaborate on this because I think we're right at that point where we can jump right in. Peter, he's a lot of things, actually, to a lot of different people, for people that are losing weight or people that are going through alcoholism or people that just want to change their life in different ways. He's an MACHT. He's an alternative health expert. He was just on CNN, actually, if that means anything. I think it does. And host producer of CYH, Create Your Health. His expertises are in, of course, alternative health. He's an author. He's hosted. He's done community activism. Just all around great guy as well. Peter, thank you. Why are you laughing when I said that?
It's a little embarrassing, but I appreciate it. And I'm claiming those things. Yes, I am all those things.
Yeah, I actually stopped because I felt like, you know, you wanted me to, so I did.
We need to add AGG to all the other letters.
AGG.
So, yeah, all around great guy.
All around great guy. Okay. All right, I'll take it.
So, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
You know, it's funny. We talked about you being on the show a couple years back, and you were busy with opening up a store, and now you're busy with writing your first major book.
Yeah.
And so, but we're like, it's got to happen, and you made it happen, or we all did. Thank you for being here.
Sure.
So you were pointing one finger at your nose and one finger at Mark when he was like, you know, that's it, you know, when he was saying...
Yeah, right, so on the nose.
On the nose. So what were you getting at?
Mark, what did you say, Mark? You said something about getting at the source or something about that? I don't remember verbatim what you said.
You know, finding balance, but actually stopping to evaluate and feel...
Yeah, that's what those things are about. From.
Yeah, right. That is so important. I wish that I could get the medical profession. I'm actually working with the doctor around this issue, but I wish I could get the medical profession to look at people's pain first as something that's going on with them on an emotional, spiritual level before they try to make it a completely mechanistic type of thing. Because medical professions now, all they do is look at the body as if it's a machine. And if you cut it and sew it up or take this out or do something or give it the right drug, then it's going to heal. And there's so much more to that.
Yeah,
there's
if you heal them, then you can't give them the next drug. So it's
right. If they actually really heal, yeah, they're not going to make a lot of money off of it. Right. I'm working with this. As you were saying, I just got my first book deal, and I'm so grateful for that. It's a very, very exciting thing. I just recently signed the agreement with Simon & Schuster, and they're using my first book as the launch for a new imprint, which is a new division of Simon & Schuster. And that is enormous, and it's super exciting.
Very exciting.
And it's so scary. I'm the first book that they're putting out. Oh, my God.
Congratulations.
It's very, very cool.
You know, normally people, radio shows, this is how we're different. Radio shows normally wait until the book is out in order to have the guests on. We're like, you got a deal? Let's put you on the show. No.
Well, actually, if anybody is interested, we did a test run because as a way to actually put the book out to people, we just made a digital version available on Kindle. So if anybody is on Amazon and they want to go to Kindle and download a shortened, quick version of the book, it's only going to be up for another 2 months because the book goes to publishing really soon. So I have to take it down on my end so that we go to the publishers.
But by the way, coming from technology, we call that convergent.
Da-dum-bum. Right? It's a coming together.
Exactly. And that's the name of the book.
And that's the name of the book. So you could either look it up by my name, Peter Bedard, or you could go to Convergence Healing, and you'll find the book on there.
And Bedard is spelled
B-E-D-A-R-D. So bed like what you sleep in, A-R-D.
Oh, that's why you split it up that way.
Okay. Well, people get it. If I say bed like what you sleep in, then a lot of times they don't do the V-E-D. I get a lot of the people who want to spell my name in all kinds of different ways. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Because it's French.
It's French. Vous parlez français.
Okay, so when we come back, we're going to start, because we do have a minute or two, but it's going to be about a death experience. So I don't know that you could do that in a minute or two.
Yeah, no.
Okay. So you died. All right.
I died. That was it. That was faster than a minute.
Actually, you say something about death that I think is really funny. That you could say in a minute.
Death is, so I say this as jokingly and very seriously, that death is the best thing that ever happened to me. I highly recommend it.
Okay, great. Isn't it fun that we could laugh about this because you're here?
Absolutely. death is a wonderful experience.
It's hysterical,
I really do sincerely mean that. To anybody out there that has a fear of death, anybody out there that maybe is facing their own mortality.
I've never heard anybody say, ever since I died, my life's been miserable. So they've always come back happy.
That's true.
Well, I have met one person that has said that. But,
Well, wait. Yeah. Actually, let's hold that thought. First of all, we're not asking people to go out and try death, A.
No.
And B, you came back and you weren't entirely like, oh.
I was not happy.
Okay. All right. So that's where we're going to start when we come back with Peter Bedard, Bedard, after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow.
The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
And we're back, and we've been... Well, we started talking about death with our guest, Peter Bedard, and it's where we're going to start. So, okay. Peter, you died.
So, yeah, the Convergence Healing book really came out of having to heal myself. So I was very poor, had very little money, and holistic health wasn't really an option very much. You didn't really hear about these things 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago. And now they're all over the place. But when somebody killed me, they
thanks
drove me
people
into
people like you and us.
Thanks
and
to you
a
guys,
lot of wonderful
absolutely.
People. Absolutely,
it's really important. And the Western medical profession is finally jumping on board, which is so exciting to me. But several years ago, somebody killed me. They drove me into the back of a semi truck. I was on a little Motobicane bike, a motorized bike, and they drove me into that semi truck. They pushed the back tires, and I slammed into the truck. I left my body. I actually got to see the accident happen, which was very exciting. And what I've come to understand, that's a very common experience, that when people are that close to a traumatic, painful, sort of death-like experience, there's a some sort of spiritual law that actually gives you a choice, from what I'm understanding, that you can actually jump out and either observe it or experience it. I jumped out.
Wow, I never heard that. Like,
yeah.
You could choose...
But yeah,
you don't
You don't consciously choose. It's a higher self type of thing. But when I've talked to people who have had near-death experiences, it's common for them to be able to say, yeah, I didn't feel a thing, or I stepped out and watched it happen.
In the bleachers or on the field.
Exactly.
Well, if you could choose that, why couldn't you just choose it not happening?
Well, that's a whole different thing. Yeah, I mean, I had maybe a second. So from the moment that my back tire was hit, I was out of my body.
Wow. Okay.
But the next second, maybe 2 seconds, three, maybe the max. You know,
probably
then
not
I was
even that.
Yeah. Then I was actually shoved into the semi truck.
Wow.
So but I was able to jump out and I got to see the whole thing happen.
Wow.
It was very interesting, and you know, I left my body. I floated above the whole experience.
Actually, I didn't think we'd get this deep into it, but since you're saying this, did you have any emotion about that person? I mean, did you know it was you?
Oh, totally, absolutely. I knew it was me. I remember watching my body. I remember seeing myself there. I remember being super happy. I remember feeling this very strange contrast of peace and looking at my body. And I was a dancer at the time. And I knew it was kind of funny because there was a humor to it. Because I was even thinking, oh, I guess my dance career is done. Because my leg was twisted under me and I knew my body was really, really messed up.
Whoa.
So... there was this awareness that had happened to me, but that it wasn't my current state of being. So there's this very interesting observation where you know it's you. There's still a bit of a connection to that body, but whatever makes you you, whatever you want to call it, the soul, the energy, whatever, me, was not in the body.
Almost distanced you from the trauma of it.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. And there was a wonderful peace. And then, you know, I went to the other side and went down the tunnel. And that's, I mean, we talk about another time if you want. But, when I came back, I was very angry. Because when I was on my bike and I was going where I wanted to, where I was driving to, I was very angry in that experience. And that was one of the contrasts, is when I had stepped out of my body, there was no more anger.
Mm.
When I was in this place of heaven or whatever you want to call it, and God, whatever, spirit God, whatever he was that I spoke to and had a conversation with, he told me I wasn't supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. And so then I got angry again, and then I was back. Then I was back here in the physical world. I wasn't in my body still. I actually saw the paramedics come. They were trying to, they were checking me for vital signs, and I remember watching them. And then I was in my body. I opened my eyes, scared the crap out of the guy that was the EMT. Because he, I'm imagining, I don't know, and I really didn't have a lot of medical background or experience at the time, but I remember him, like, putting his ear to my face, to, potentially, I guess, looking for breath or hearing, you know, whatever he was doing. And I opened my eyes, scared the crap out of him. He literally jumped off the ground. And then I was out of my body again, and they put me in the, and I put my body in the ambulance, closed the doors and left. And I said I didn't want to go back there. So after all that stuff happened and I eventually found myself back in my body, I was really angry again. And that anger and that frustration and that shame and that embarrassment of why didn't I make a different choice? Like you had said, why didn't I choose to do something else? Mm-hmm. I internalized like spiritual wounding. I would beat myself up. Why didn't I do something else? And it wasn't until I finally sat myself down and really looked at the experience and said, there was no time. Mm. It happened so fast. Your brain maybe can think, oh, do this or that. But the physical world, there wasn't even time for that thought to get from my brain into my body to try and do something.
Yeah.
You know, it just, boom, happened.
Wow.
Yeah. So the convergence process really came out of healing because I cracked 5 vertebrae and I shattered my knee and I split my wrist open. I lost all the nerves in my hand. I had to learn how to walk again. I had chronic pain. I had fibromyalgia and arthritis and asthma and bronchitis and sciatica. And it was just a cascade. The list goes on and on.
But that's not from the accident.
Oh, all was all starting with the accident.
Oh, wow.
So over the years, the accident was sort of a trigger. And I had that pain and I had my knee rebuilt and I cracked 5 vertebrae and I had brain damage. And then that led to anxiety and that led to depression. And I lost my career and I didn't know how to be in the world. And I lost my voice of how to express myself and connect with people. And the way I knew how to do it was through dance and movement. And I couldn't do that anymore. And so all the stuff that sort of the cascade, I had one leg longer than the other, and they told me that I would always have to have that, which isn't true. I was able to correct that, but that created sciatica, and the sciatica was incredibly painful. And then I developed allergies and food allergies, and, you know, it was just this ongoing thing. I call it my garbage. So I have a little phrase I call the gold in the garbage. And the garbage is all of that story that I just said, all of that pain, all of that crap. That's the garbage. The gold is that I was able to come out of that experience and share the healing that I learned with other people. So just being on your show is my gold. So this is a gift to me because this is what I love to do with my life. This is my life purpose now, to really let people know, one, that death isn't a scary thing. Death is actually a beautiful thing, and embrace it, love it. Enjoy it. It's something to look forward to when it's your time.
When your time comes.
Exactly. Right. It's certainly something to go, you know what? It's a natural part and it's a continuation of life.
Because it sounds to me like if it's not your time, it could hurt like.
Well, I didn't have the pain until I came back.
Yeah.
So the pain, I jumped out of my body. I didn't experience all that pain. The pain, and for me, the pain more than even physical pain, even with all the things, the brain damage and the dead nerves that I had to regrow and the back and all that type of stuff, the majority of the pain, the primary pain was the emotional pain, the pain of punishing myself for why didn't I change, why didn't I do something, right? That whole sort of, and I call it spiritual flagellation. And if I would have been a better person, then I wouldn't have had this happen.
Sure.
And I see that with my clients all the time. I do a lot of work with 4-stage cancers and people that are in death experiences. Mm-hmm. And we tend to flagellate ourselves. You know, if I was a better person, if I prayed more, if I had a better relationship with God, I would have meditated more, if I would have done all those things, then this wouldn't happen to me.
Yeah.
And that's actually not the truth at all. When I believe that dis-ease is a gift and it's something there to teach us, and that spiritual people are the people who can handle those gifts. You develop your spirituality when you are going through pain. And that is our highest calling. Our highest calling isn't to own the stock market. Our highest calling is to evolve spiritually, and pain is your biggest teacher.
You know, I didn't think we would get into all this because I'm excited about the book and I'm excited of getting the information out there. And
sure.
You have seven steps. As a matter of fact, the book is going to be called a seven step.
It's Convergence, a seven step process to lovingly heal your pain.
So I thought we were going to be getting more into that. And so it's not that I forgot your story, but I don't think of you as that story. So to hear,
yeah, I don't think of me as that story
of
either.
Of course. And so to hear it and be reminded of that, it's like, yeah. Oh, that's right. When I see you and you're jumping up here and there and you're more lively than anybody else in the room.
Yeah.
And, you know, you practically dance when you walk. So it's like, what? You know?
So that's an important, that's something very, very important. It's something I really work with my clients on. If you notice, as I was telling my story, there's really no attachment to it.
Yeah, you're not owning that.
It's just,
it.
It's just my story.
Yeah.
It's the facts of the situation. Yeah. It's that, it's the occurrence of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm no longer emotionally attached
almost
to it.
Almost like you're that soul looking at it.
Absolutely.
Interesting analogy.
And that was a huge, huge shift when I wasn't identified by that story. And it takes a lot of work. I mean, I still look at myself. And I go, oh, I'm identified by a particular story and I don't like it, but I'm in it. Right? But and I work on that. Because
on
when
the
you're
other stories.
On other stories,
yes.
Yeah. Yes. When you're identified by a particular story, whether it's a money story or a love story or any of those type of those big things, right? Why don't I have the relationship? Why don't I have the lover, the partner? Why don't I have the money? When we're attached to that story, we are inflicting pain to ourselves.
Mm.
So the convergence process really is my discovery over several years of very simple steps that are super doable that get you from where you are in the pain to where you want to be as pain-free.
And I know you're going to give us a couple of those steps, and we're going to need to do that when we come back. And then a little later on in the show, we're going to hear some music that's probably going to be inspired now from your new story that will be played by Chris Murphy. So when we come back, we'll have all of that. And I'm so looking forward to it here on Life Changes right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back, and we are talking with Peter Bedard, who is a friend and an alternative healer and an expert host producer of Create Your Health. And we're talking about his new book, most of it, which has been written already, and you can get it on Amazon Kindle. Well, not most of it, a short version
A short version that we use to put out because I wanted to help my clients and give them some information quickly that's easy. And
right.
You know, if people can't afford to do a session with me, they get my book.
Right. And
right.
The long version is going to be called Convergence.
Yeah.
And that's going to be available hopefully very soon.
It'll be available at the end of the year with Enliven Books, which is an imprint of Simon & Schuster.
Yeah. Excellent. So you... I love that. You found the gold in the garbage.
And gold in the garbage.
Part of the gold, you said, is being on our show, and we agree. And part of the gold is you've found some processes that not only helped you, they also are processes that can be used in other areas of
Absolutely.
Our lives.
So, and part of the goal is if there's anybody listening and says, you know what, I've heard similar things, or yeah, okay, I kind of got it, but all of a sudden it clicked for me.
Mm-hmm.
That is my gold. You know, I'm not out there claiming that I'm making up all this new stuff. This stuff kind of came to me as a download. Mm. When I started this healing work, I had a basic college degree, but that was it. All I was offered was drugs and surgery, and I didn't want to do those things. I just couldn't do that to my body. So instead, I lived in excruciating pain for years and slowly healed myself. And I learned things along the way, and it's that learning and even starting to tune into that intuitive knowledge that we have. Like what you were doing with the flu, I'm impressed with that. I love that because you actually said, I'm going to learn what the source of this thing is. What is it teaching me? You figured it out. You learned the lesson, and the next day it was gone.
It's when you were outside of your body looking back.
No, I wasn't outside on that one. You said something. I know where I wanted to go, or how did you say it? I know where I wanted to go, but I didn't know.
I didn't know how to get there.
Yeah.
And so the steps are about giving people that steps to get there. So that first step is very simple. It's just this real process of stepping into the captain's seat. I'm in charge. This is my life, right? Mm. So for me, that was a big thing to do in the beginning of my healing. When I could say, I'm in charge, it's my life, and it's not the person that hit me. It's not what was done to me anymore. It's not even the results of what was done to me. This is my life. This is my body. I'm in charge, right?
That is so brilliant. We can't go beyond that. We have to stop and talk about that because people say, well, what's that going to do? But you can't know what that's going to do until you're actually sitting in that chair.
Absolutely. And that leads you to the next step, which is releasing the victim, because you can't live in the captain's seat and continue to be a victim. It's impossible. Mm. Most of us are living our lives through our subconscious, through our pain, through our hurt, through our old habits and behaviors, and they're living their lives through their pain. And the pain is calling the shots. You're not. Think of it like a cigarette, like a smoker. Who's in charge? That cigarette's in charge. That cigarette is driving that person's behavior, their opinions, their judgments, when they're going to go outside, what they're going to do, what time they're going to do, all that. That's calling the shots, right? And so that, whenever we're in that experience of, it's too much, I can't do it, it's too hard, that's an indication that you're in the victim.
You know, you brought to mind something, just as an aside, when I was working in corporate America, I wasn't a smoker, but it was during the time when people were smoking. So they'd go out and they'd smoke and talk for 10 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. So I decided I'm not a smoker. I miss out on my 10 minutes of just talking with people. So I started inviting people outside to just talk, and they thought that was the weirdest thing. Mm-hmm. And when people that were my superiors would see me out there, they'd say, why aren't you working? I'm like, I'm taking my smoking break, but you don't smoke. Well, why are you, you know, why?
Yeah, why do they get a break and I don't? Yeah,
right.
Why are you rewarding?
I'm taking a breath break. Yeah,
exactly. And if there's anybody who is a smoker, that's one of the, there's a really great study that was done where they had people act like they were smoking cigarettes. So they held their fingers like they were holding a cigarette and they put their fingers up to their mouth and they inhaled. And they found that that physical experience of moving your hands, thinking about the smoking when not doing it, thinking about it, and breathing gave them the same results of having the cigarette.
Like they got lung cancer?
No. They got that. People talk about, I go outside and I feel better and I get that little high or that buzz. Or all the smokers listening, they got it. Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Okay, Philly.
That's it. I didn't know where you were going.
Well, they got throat cancer. All right.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, where were we? All right, so now we're sitting in the, now we're Captain Kirk.
So we're in the captain's seat. We're letting go of that victim, right?
Okay.
And the third step is to practice radical love. And radical love means every part of you that you are beating up, that you are making wrong and bad, that you are ashamed of, that you want to punish, that you want to throw away from your something that was done to you, so from your anxiety, from a tumor to your fat thighs, I'm going to say you love every part of you unconditionally.
Yeah.
And practicing that.
So radical self-love.
Radical self-love. Gotcha. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is no wavering. It's, oh, I can love this part, but not that part. No. It's everything.
And this is when you were using me as an example earlier when we were talking off the air, when you said, okay, so say Filippo, say you're my tumor. So go on with that.
Okay, yeah, so then that the next step, that brings us to the step four.
I was born in June 26th. So I say, when people say, what sign are you? I said, I'm a Cancer. I grow on you.
I multiply all over you.
So that's a good analogy. Okay, so I'm your tumor. Now what?
So the next step is actually befriend your disease, the part of you that is in disease. It's to actually make that part. Because if you're going to practice radical love, then you can have that part as a friend. And the example I was giving that I give with all my clients is that kind of concept that, okay, say somebody over here, that's not us, somebody over there has a tumor. Our traditional way of looking at that tumor is to beat it up, make it wrong, make it bad, to punish it, to be ashamed of it, embarrassed of it. And, how could you do this to me, right? And this is a part of them. It's their breasts, it's their prostate, it's their throat, it's their lungs. It's an important part of them that they are making wrong and bad. Mm-hmm. That is sick and that needs to be loved, not beaten up. Mm-hmm. And so we redefine that relationship with that part. And we set some boundaries, and we even ask for a vision of it to come in. So, because, you know, when there's something that we can see, right, when we ask these parts to come into our space, we invite it to take on a shape, whether it's a cloud. I've had people come up with goats and spiders and younger versions of themselves or whatever they are, ogres, whatever it is. And when you love that thing that once was perceived to be ugly, suddenly it starts to change. Mm. And it doesn't need to be so hard. It doesn't need to be so mean. I've seen people's tumors literally change in just a short amount of time because they're literally applying that experience. Mm. And that part that they were beating up, because if, like I said to you, if you were that part for me and I was treating you that way, you'd probably want to act out even more. Right? You'd say, F off, right?
Well, me personally, but probably most people, would fight you, yes.
Right. If I'm abusing that part and that's connected to me, it would probably want to react to that anger, to that frustration.
And the irony of it is the way we're talking about it here is that part is actually trying to help you.
Absolutely. So that's another thing that we do, that these parts are trying to get our attention. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we shove stuff down. We shove it down, shove it down, shove it down. We don't deal with emotionally. We don't deal with it spiritually. We don't even deal with it intellectually. We shove it into our bodies, and our bodies have to deal with it. And it comes out sideways, and it comes out as an anxiety disorder. It comes out as an addiction. It comes out as a tumor. And so when we actually deal, like you did with the flu, with the actual experience, I've had addictions. This is even a miracle to me. I had one guy who was a pretty heavy drinker. He would come home and drink for about 4 hours every night. And he was a camera guy. He was in front of the camera. He was a personality. And he couldn't be on set without drinking. That's a little dangerous, trying to hide your inebriation.
Oh, wait, this is one of those famous actors that you can't talk about.
I can't talk about.
Because I know you work with...
I can't talk about.
Okay,
I don't know who you're talking about.
This is one of his famous.
Maybe not.
Famous
I don't know.
Clients, okay.
I have no idea. It's just a story. Shh. And anyway, we got at what the core of his anxiety that was driving the need to medicate himself, that was driving the need to drink, we got at that issue. In one session, it was remarkable. One session, and he didn't drink for 4 weeks. He picked up a drink 4 weeks later, drank one drink, put it down, called me. And I'm not in contact with him regularly. I haven't heard anything. But as far as I know, he is not using. Mm.
Well, have you seen him on TV or in the movies?
So I cannot say that.
So, well, you'd know.
Sure.
You'd know.
Sure. Right. So once you befriend your disease and practice this radical love with it, then you can have a relationship with it that's not built on animosity. And with that, you can then start talking to this part and asking what it needs to heal. Because we all talk about this idea of having to heal on the body, mind, spirit level, but most of us don't really know what that means, mm-hmm. right? Like with weight loss, I'm doing a workshop this next month on redefining your relationship with your body, right?
It started already, right?
No, it starts the first Monday of April, so it starts on the 6th.
Okay, perfect.
So just over a week.
And they could go to...
They can find me. They could send me an email at peterbedard@yahoo.com. They could send me an email at peter@createyourhealth.com. They can go to Facebook to...
Or they can go to Convergence Healing. Right.
They can go to convergencehealing.com.
Right. Perfect.
I'm really easy to find.
Okay, so convergencehealing.com.
Convergence. C-O-N-V-E-R-G-E-N-C-E.
Yeah.
Convergencehealing.com.
And Peter Bedard, again, B-E-D.
B-E-D. A-R-D.
A-R-D. Yeah. All right. So finish up what you were saying.
So we start having this relationship with this part and asking the part to lead the way on the healing. Because most of the time when people come to me again, there's this idea that they've exhausted things. And they're trying to think about what to do next. And they have all these other people trying to tell them what to do next. Their doctors are yelling at them. Their family is trying to tell them what to do. Their partners are screaming at them because they're feeling abandoned. And they're scared,
sure.
Whatever it is. And nobody's really listening to the part that's sick, that needs the attention and the love. And so you start building a relationship with that part, and you ask that part specifically, what does it need to feel better on a body level, on a mind thought level, and a spirit level? So I love using the example of weight loss, because most of us only work on the body level. If we want to do any toning or weight loss or anything like that, we diet and we exercise. Right? And that's okay, but that just leads us to that yo-yo effect, right? We diet and we exercise, we're not dealing with the mind, and we're not healing on the mind level, and we're not dealing on the spirit, we're not healing on the spirit level. Because the mind often perceives itself, in the example of fat, the mind might perceive itself as the fat kid. And so it doesn't matter how skinny or how fit that person gets, when that person sees themselves, they're always the fat kid. And the same thing for the spirit. The spirit may perceive itself as the broken child that nobody picked to play on the team, right? Or that people taunted or made fun of. So there's three parts to us. There's a lot more, but there's three primary components, right? And if one component, the body, starts to get healthier, but the mind and the spirit are constantly saying, no, you're fat and you're broken, most likely they're going to go binge eat. They're going to go medicate that pain. They're going to go do something like that, and they're just going to go right back into that experience of that fat. And so you see it on these shows all the time, these weight loss shows and stuff like that. You hear it in your friends' lives all the time, up and down, up and down, up and down, right? And you got to give themselves a new story. So they have to start thinking about themselves differently and challenging that old thinking. And sometimes it's a second at a time. I mean, I remember I was in so much pain at one time that I literally felt that if I had to do one more thing that was good for me, I was going to slip my wrist. That was it. I was at that point, right? And my head kept telling me, oh, you're just sick, you're just sick, you're just sick, you're just sick. Like, it just kept saying that over and over and over again.
You're going to be sick forever.
Exactly.
It's
never going to work. And why are you doing this? Yeah. And, you know, that whole conversation, right? I had to stop that conversation. And that's part of stepping into the captain seat. Mm-hmm. Who's in charge, the obsessive thought or you? So I stepped into that captain seat and I started disciplining my thoughts. And that's when I went into things that are going to support me in that, right? I started doing my mindfulness meditation routines and things of that sort that are going to discipline my mind so that I don't go down that pathway, literally neurological pathway in the brain, of that pain.
Right.
And I could create a new pathway. Those are so important, creating that new biological pathway, that new heart-centered pathway, that emotional pathway, that new thought, that new perception in the world is so important. And that's being on that path, body, mind, spirit. What are the things you need to do physically, thought-wise, and knowledge, and gnosis, right, that are going to get you thinking differently? And what are the things you need to do on that spirit level that are going to bring you to that goal that you say you want to be? People say they want to heal, but most of the time they have no idea what that healing really is. They know what they don't want. I don't want to hurt anymore. Well, what the heck is that? And that's that whole, you know, the brain's always looking for negatives, and the brain has to know that negative in order to know the positive. It's the pink elephant thing. I call it the sobriety loop, where you have to first have a drinking problem in order to be sober.
Mm.
And in order to stay sober, you always have to have a drinking problem.
Interesting.
Well, what about stepping out of that thinking? What about creating something completely new?
Mm.
And using all the senses that created that pain, what if you use those same senses to know a different story?
Well, very well said, by the way.
Well, thank you.
And you were going to give us, I think, two steps. I think you've given three or four.
Well, those
so
are the
far,
seven but, steps.
Oh,
of the,
all
of
seven
the,
are
yeah.
in there. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the first step was taking responsibility. The second step was releasing the victim, right? The third step was radical love. The fourth step was befriending your disease. The fifth step was asking your disease what it needs on a body level. And then the sixth, mind level. And the seventh, spirit level.
Wow.
And those are the breadcrumbs that you follow.
Right, and that's breadcrumb enough for those who want to get Peter's book at convergencehealing.com. Actually, that's where you could also learn about the big book that's coming out. It's going to be called Just Convergence. But right now you can get a smaller version.
You can get the short little limited edition that's online right now for only a few more weeks on Kindle. And then if anybody wanted to find out about my private practice or the workshops and things that I do, they can go to convergencehealing.com too.
Okay.
Or find me on Facebook.
Again, at Convergence Healing or yep. Peter Bedard.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. Well, you thank you for sharing your story with us,
sure.
All of them.
Sure. I got a lot more. I'll be back at 5.
But I meant like the old one and the new happy one.
Right.
And obviously the new happy one is I'm going to be happy. I'm going to smile all the time. I'm going to laugh.
No, it's
as
not.
Often.
No, no.
Because
I mean,
every time I see you, that's how I see you.
Well, that's my temperament. But, you know, there's still stuff that I have to deal with. People tend to think
of
that
course,
I'm
you're
like
human.
This. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And that's important to recognize, whether it's your doctor or any healer, that's so important to recognize that
they have
human.
Issues.
They have their own issues. We all do.
So
and
take
to be loving and compassionate for those.
That's true.
Absolutely.
And take what you can for that'll serve you in this moment.
Yeah.
From what they have to offer.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for offering so much, Peter. It's a pleasure having you here. Stick around because Chris Murphy's going to come back in,
awesome.
Who I know you've met, already joked around
yeah,
with.
His music's amazing.
Actually, the two of you went into the rapping together.
We had your new theme song.
Right. So we're not going to have that next, but we are going to have Chris Murphy come in and play us some great music when we come back right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back, and our musical guest is Chris Murphy. Now, I know Chris as a violinist, a composer, a band leader, and I also know him as a great mandolin player and also instructor. So it's good to have you here. Nice seeing you again. It's been a long time.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure, actually, and I'm looking forward to the music. You are an instructor, and I remember when you found out about our show a couple years ago, you were saying, you know, there's an element of Life Changes that I bring into my instruction. And it's interesting because where we met, actually, where we saw each other last, or not maybe not last, but where we saw each other most recently, was the which is like last. All right. We saw each other. Never mind. At the Black, you had a student who was performing on stage at Pepperdine University. And I just happened to be at that performance. And she was amazing.
Well, the radical difference between what I advocate educationally versus other people is I only teach learning to play an instrument as a tool. I'm not that interested in the instruments. People come to me and go, I love the violin. I want to play it. Mm-hmm. That to me is not as far-reaching a reason to learn an instrument as really developing an artistic voice. That's what I'm drawn to. My favorite writers, composers, artists, people are not necessarily the most technical. They're a lot of times the most primitive. Their art and their voice is coming out in spite of their limitations. So I'm really a big fan of developing the artistic voice in everybody. And I call my program, and I like to call myself more of a coach than a teacher. Because really what I am is I'm coaching people to develop their own personal style. I was very lucky as a music student to encounter a teacher named Rand Blake, who taught at New England Conservatory, and he called his program Development of Personal Style. And I like to think I'm working in that spirit. So I tell people that the guitar, the mandolin, the bass, the piano, the flute, it doesn't really matter what it is. Those are just paintbrushes, crayons, pen and inks, equipment.
It's a medium.
A medium. Yeah. And what's real important is what you're going to say. Mm-hmm. And I make all of my students, regardless of their ability, begin their artistic process through the act of improvisation, creating right away. Nice. It might be with two or three notes or two or three rhythms or all 12 notes or whatever it might be. Right away, I want people to be expressing themselves. And I tell everyone, if you're accepted into my program, which I like to call a ninja training journey, and I like to call my teaching studio a dojo. You know, if I accept you as a student, that I'm going to ask you to make a album every 9 months. You know, wow. I'm going to ask you to write and record, you know, an album. And I will tell them confidently in the beginning that first album won't be very good.
Okay.
But the idea of creating, and that's what fuels me as an artist. It's not being a great violinist. And that's no disrespect to the people that are interested in that. There's plenty of people that pursue that. To me, I'm interested in great art and great creativity and great originality and really, in a very broad sense of the word, having all the music be very spiritual. That's where I think you and I share a connection and why I'm on the show. And what I'm going to perform for you today is an improvisation based on going inside, going internally. It doesn't have words. It's a one-of-a-kind improvisation inspired by all of us being in this room together. And the spirit of your show, Life Changes.
Indeed it does. And I'm reminded that we have two ways of getting a hold of you on our website already. We want to put a third. The two ways we have are people can contact you personally, go to your personal website. They can also book your band or one of your many bands, because you have different musical...
I have six shows that I do.
Right. And you do them, I mean, all around town, celebrities, and actually in out of town for that matter. So big events and all that stuff. But there is a third way, and we'll have to get this up. And for those who are wanting to be part of your dojo and be coached by you, they could go to blacktreeschool.com. So blacktreeschool.com and chrismurphymusic.com and all that, they can find that on the website. But just wanted to make sure we gave that out. So I can't wait to hear what we together have all inspired your beautiful mastery to create in this moment.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I just want to say one of the things I love about your show is that the name Life Changes could be both a verb, life does change, or it could be whatever the other grammatical name is. There are changes in our life. Mm-hmm. So I love the ambiguity of that, and that's what I want my music to aspire to, that it's both about you and about me and about a third dynamic of when we're together. Mm-hmm. And so that's the spirit that I'm minstrel, you know, throughout L.A. You know, my music is in the moment. So good luck, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to clap too.
It was awesome.
I just used to not.
That was amazing. That was great.
That was called Life Changes.
It's a new theme song.
Thank you. Honored.
It was awesome.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure, and not only do we get to have you, but because of you, we had Joel
Henry Stein. Yes.
And now I want to give a shout out to a mutual friend, Terry Kano, who introduced you and I many years ago.
Yes.
So it's interesting how years later we started out doing Italian music together, and here we are.
Well, to quote one of the great philosophers and minds and thinkers of our time, it's a small world after all.
And with that, I'm Filippo Voltaggio saying, as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com. On Facebook at The Life Changes Show and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.